Thank you. It's a privilege to speak to you, and I'm grateful for the invitation to do that. If we accept evolutionary science, then human nature is not one of the permanent things, but it is one of the enduring things, and that's enough. An evolved human nature that is enduring but not permanent is enough to support an evolutionary conservatism, rooted in an evolutionary moral anthropology of natural desires, customary traditions, and individual judgments. That's not enough, however, for a metaphysical conservatism that appeals to a transcendent moral cosmology of eternal order as intelligently designed by the Creator. Now, that contrast between evolutionary conservatism and metaphysical conservatism was manifested, I think, clearly at the famous 1957 meeting of the Mount Pelerin Society, which produced a debate between Friedrich Hayek and Russell Kirk. Kirk had stated the metaphysical and religious conservatism of his position in 1953 in the book, The Conservative Mind, that we've been talking so much about. And there he said, as some of you have indicated, some of the speakers have indicated, the first canon of conservative thought was belief that a divine intent rules society, as well as conscience, forging an eternal chain of right and duty, which links great and obscure, living and dead. And consequently, politics is the art of apprehending and applying the justice which is above nature. Kirk spoke of the conservative belief in a transcendent moral order, and we've heard that phrase a lot today, and in Edmund Burke's description of the state as a divinely ordained moral essence, a spiritual union of the dead, the living, and those unborn. And Kirk also spoke of Burke's view of history as the unfolding of design, with a capital D. And Kirk then, in the context of affirming that first article or first canon of conservative thought, warned against Darwinian evolutionary science as undermining, subverting this metaphysical conservatism because it denies the religious belief in a transcendent moral order of intelligent design. In the same tradition of metaphysical conservatism, Richard Weaver insisted that a healthy cultural order required a metaphysical dream of the world, and that's his phrase, so that people could imagine their cultural life as a metaphysical community, fulfilling a cosmic purpose. And like Kirk, Weaver worried that Darwin's theory of evolution denied this metaphysical dream of cosmic order by explaining human beings as products of a natural evolutionary process governed by material causes that were not directed to any cosmic purpose. And consequently, in the Darwinian view, it seemed, human cultural order was deprived of any transcendent meaning because it could not be seen as serving the cosmic order of the Creator's intelligently designed universe. Now, since Hayek accepted Darwinian science but doubted the existence of God, he disagreed with Kirk's metaphysical conservatism. And that led Hayek to insist at the 1957 meeting that he was not really a conservative at all, but rather a liberal in the classical sense, in the classical tradition of Burke and the old Whigs. He objected to the obscurantism of a conservative attitude that rejected Darwin's theory of evolution as morally corrupting. He elaborated his view of Burkean liberalism as belonging to a British empiricist evolutionary tradition, as contrasted with a French rationalistic design tradition. In the evolutionary tradition of David Hume, Adam Smith, and Burke, Hayek explained, it was shown that an evident order, which was not the product of a designing human intelligence, need not therefore be ascribed to the design of a higher supernatural intelligence, but that there was a third possibility, the emergence of order as the result of adaptive evolution. And he then suggested that Darwin's theory of biological evolution was in fact derived from the theories of social evolution developed by the Scottish philosophers. Now, both Kirk and Hayek appealed to Edmund Burke suggests that they were both Burkean liberal conservatives. But their disagreement reflects a tension within Burke's political thought, with Kirk embracing the metaphysical side of Burke's conservatism and Hayek embracing the evolutionary side. That evolutionary tradition of social thought was deepened by Charles Darwin, particularly in his Descent of Man, which was published some years after The Origin of Species, in his explanation of moral order as rooted in a moral sense that is part of the evolved nature of human beings. He saw moral progress in human history as a product of the complex evolutionary interaction of innate sociality, cultural learning, and deliberate judgment. Ultimately, he concluded, and I'm quoting now from Darwin, our moral sense or conscience becomes a highly complex sentiment, originating in the social instincts, largely guided by the approbation of our fellow men, ruled by reason, self-interest, and in later times by deep religious feelings, and confirmed by instruction and habit. He observed then that this moral sense perhaps affords the best and highest distinction between man and the lower animals. In recent years, new research in evolutionary social psychology and Darwinian anthropology has renewed interest in how evolutionary science might support classical liberalism or traditionalist conservatism. And one sign of this is the very meeting of the Mount Pelerin Society that was just referred to, and I know maybe about a half dozen of you were at that meeting, in the Galapagos, appropriately, exploring the topic of evolution, the human sciences, and liberty. But any renewal of evolutionary conservatism will provoke criticisms from the metaphysical conservatives. And from my experience in defending Darwinian conservatism, the most common criticism is that the naturalist morality of Darwinian science must fail, because a healthy moral order depends necessarily on religion, and particularly on the biblical doctrine that all human beings are created in God's image and thus endowed by their creator with an inherent and equal moral dignity. So, for example, my critics have argued that the moral condemnation of slavery arose from a religious metaphysics that saw slavery as contrary to God's law. And so that a purely naturalistic Darwinian morality would not have taught us that slavery is simply wrong. But is that true, that this condemnation of slavery requires that, you know, that metaphysical appeal? I mean, Darwin himself was a fervent opponent of slavery throughout his life. Like Hume and Smith, he saw slavery as a violation of the moral sentiments, and particularly those sentiments that enforce justice as reciprocity. From an evolutionary point of view, slavery is a form of social parasitism. And since the human slaves are not naturally adapted to their enslavement, they will resist exploitation. And slaveholders will then have to impose their rule by force and fraud. In the effort to justify slavery, American slaveholders espoused a fraudulent ideology of paternalism that claimed that slavery was naturally beneficial for the slaves. The pro-slavery ideology of the American South asserted that black slaves were physically, morally, and intellectually inferior to whites in their biological nature, so that these black slaves were happier when they were serving their white masters. And indeed, one of the primary motivations for Darwin's writing, The Descent of Man, was to refute this ideology of scientific racism by showing that all the human races were members of the same human species with the same moral sense that condemned slavery as exploitation. Southern conservatives defended slavery as a conservative Christian institution supported by the Bible. In writing about Southern conservatism, Kirk warned that human slavery is bad ground for conservatives to make a stand upon. But he never answered the arguments of the Southern Christian conservatives that slavery was biblically sanctioned as part of God's law. Richard Weaver admired the older religiousness in the American South before the Civil War. And he recognized that part of the Southern religion was faith in the Bible as supporting slavery. Weaver explained that slavery is well recognized in the Old Testament, and it is not without endorsement in the New. Indeed, a strict constructionist interpretation almost requires its defense. So it seems that the metaphysical dream of the world of the Old South sanctions slavery as part of God's transcendent moral order. The dispute over the Bible's handling of the slavery issue divided the Christian churches in America before and during the Civil War. Americans had always looked to the Bible as the revelation of the sacred order of the universe that would resolve all moral disputes by the cosmic authority of God's law. But in this greatest moral crisis in American history, the Bible failed to provide any satisfactory answer in the dispute over slavery between North and South. As Abraham Lincoln observed in his second inaugural address, both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. In such a situation, human beings must appeal to some natural moral sense, like that espoused by Smith and Hume and Darwin. Darwinian conservatives can explain this moral sense as a product of human evolution. Unlike the metaphysical conservatives, who claim that all social order must conform to some supernatural order of intelligent design or divine creation, evolutionary conservatives can see social order as emerging from ordinary human experience as guided by human nature, human tradition, and human prudence. Although Russell Kirk devoted his life to the conservative defense of tradition, he recognized that traditions could be bad, even tyrannical, and consequently, tradition needed to be balanced by individual dissent and judgment. The American Southern tradition of slavery could be judged as tyrannical in its denial of the natural resistance of human beings to exploitation, which is part of that enduring, but not eternal, moral sense that is rooted in our evolved human nature. So, as we celebrate the permanent things, let's not forget the enduring things, which include the enduring human structure of instinctive evolution, cultural evolution, and individual judgment that gives us an enduring standard of natural right. For those of us who are Darwinian conservatives, that's enough.